Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're redeemed?
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Think about, Brother Corey was singing about the rock, and he was singing about redeemed, redemption. And so, that goes right along with what, the Spirit of God has, spoken to my heart. I want us to look at something just a little bit different tonight. I'll try to just hit the high points and you take it home with you and let the Spirit of God minister to you. I want to talk to you about, what I feel like the Spirit of the Lord is wanting to reveal to us. And I know it's going to bear witness with some of you very strongly. You know, we need to say yes more to the glory. You know, there's more. God's got more in store for you and I. Amen. He's got more in store for you and I. This is a fact. This is the truth. You and I, we've just barely just stuck our little pinky in what God has for us. Amen. And it's going to get bigger and bigger and better and better. Not that God changes, but I just change every time I'm around him. Amen. So if you would open up your Bibles to John chapter 11. And before we do that, Sister Victoria, would you put Luke 1:37? How many believers we got tonight? I believe, don't you? For with God, how many things?
All.
Right? All things. Our God. Nothing shall be impossible, right? So you said you was a believer?
Yes.
So there's more in store, amen, because you're willing to believe. There's nothing impossible. All things are possible to you and I.
Yes.
But we've got to die out
right.
to the old man and self.
Right.
And have that redemption. Come on. And then comes the glory. So you told me you were a believer. That means, and I want you to mark this down on the table of your heart and take it home with you. You got to have grace and then the glory. You got to have grace and then the glory. And we're going to look at that out of the Word of God. And the way grace comes is the grace of God is, yeah, we're saved because of faith. We're saved because of grace, but grace allows us to die to the old way. The old man. Amen. Let's start reading. There's so much in this, and you're very familiar with the story. So let's start reading in verse 17. John chapter 11, verse 17. This is where Jesus is going to the situation with Lazarus. And you know that he's done talked about what's going to happen, but we don't have time to cover all that. So let's verse 17, John 11, 17. If you're there, say amen. Then when Jesus came, he found that he, Lazarus, had laid in the grave 4 days already. Now, Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, and it was about 15 furlongs off. 15 is rest, the number of rest. Verse 19. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother, concerning the death of Lazarus. Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. Verse 22. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Verse 23, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Verse 24, and Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Verse 25, Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? See, your faith, my faith, is what makes us be able to see the glory of God. Amen. Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. Lord, thank you for this message that comes straight out of heaven into our lives. Lord, let us receive it in our hearts. Lord, let it become real. Give us the ability in our minds to shut out what happens tomorrow.
Yes.
Past week, Lord, and give us that ability to step into the Word for us right now.
Yes.
And I thank you for that, Father, and I thank you for that ability. I give you all the glory and praise. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Thank you for being here tonight. We had a great service this morning. We had a great service this afternoon. I guess you could say it kept going, didn't it? And then tonight, God's got some good things in store. Amen. I believe that, and you believe that. So it's going to happen in Jesus' name. So notice here, Jesus is in a situation and a circumstance. He is not only in a relationship with them in the sense that he is bringing and revealing the glory of God to them, but from a spiritual standpoint, but from a natural standpoint, he's their friends. They're close. Him and Mary and Martha and Lazarus, they're close. They break bread together. They fellowship together. All of these things, they've had a long-standing relationship. And then all of a sudden, God the Father speaks to Jesus, brings revelation to him and says, I'm going to do something that's going to bring me glory. And so Jesus hears that, and Jesus knows what's going to happen, and he tries to explain that to his disciples and all of this, and he had then been teaching ahead of time to prepare even this household of this truth, but this is to teach you and I a reality that when we die out to self, when we die out in the flesh, it's not the end, it's the beginning. That's when we get to the point where we can receive something deeper, something greater from the Lord. So Lazarus, as we've taught many times, but I'll remind you in case we've laid it by the wayside, Lazarus is the Greek form of the Hebrew of Eleazar. Eleazar was the priest of Aaron. And so what Jesus is doing here, when he raises Lazarus from the dead, he's resurrecting the priesthood. Come on, that's you and I tonight. We've got to see that. We've got to believe that. We are, because that's what 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us down about verse number 9. We are a royal priesthood. Amen. And so Jesus wants to resurrect the priesthood. Well, to be able to do that, you and I, we got to die. I got to die out to self. I got to die out to what I want to do, the way I want to do things, to my own understanding, my own desires. It does not match up and line up with the Lord. And when I die out to those things, God said through his son Jesus that he would be glorified. And he would bring a resurrection in and out of my old way of life and bring me into a new way of life. Amen. Now, let's turn over just to the next page, or at least in my Bible. And let's read just a couple verses here, just laying the foundation with you. Look at verse 35. It says, Jesus wept. Now, Jesus is hurting here. He's hurting here in the natural, because he sees the concern and he sees the hurt of Mary and Martha, and all of those who loved Lazarus. But he's also hurt because he has tried to prepare them for this and get them in the place and the position of faith. So when you hurt, Jesus hurts. When I hurt, Jesus hurts, and he especially hurts when there's been a word that has been given to us that would help us to avoid some things. But I want you to know he's touched by everything that you're touched by. That's what Scripture tells us. You can be encouraged by that. But notice what it says. Verse 37, it says, "And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" See, there's so many times in our life that we go through things and things happen. And if we're not careful, we'll question God. We'll blame God and we'll say, "God, why? Why am I going through this? Why is so-and-so dealing with this? What's this all about?" And we get the focus on self and off the Savior. But Jesus, he is there then. He is here tonight to get our focus off of self and back on him. Because what they didn't realize by Lazarus dying and Jesus introducing himself as the resurrection, it was just a foretaste of what you and I are going to have for eternity. Amen. But not only for eternity, what we've got tonight, because when we get born again, when we get redeemed, and we're planted on that rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, everything changes. Old is old and new is new. Amen. Verse 38, Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Don't you find it interesting? You know, the Bible tells us there's always two of everything. You know, there's two trees. You know, you and I, we serve the tree of life, you know, but there's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But Jesus is that rock. But there's another rock that tried to hide Jesus. Come on, the little R, the God of this world, the little G, he tried to keep Jesus in the tomb, but he couldn't do it. He couldn't hold Jesus down, amen? So there was a stone over that. You know the story very well. But Jesus said in this same revelation and type and shadow of what the resurrection will do, verse 39, Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Now, when you and I hear from the Lord, we just looked at that verse, Luke 1:37, all things is possible to those that believe in God. God can do what needs to be done. The word of God will change some things. So when Jesus wants us to roll the stone away, it's a form of Ezekiel 36 where he said, "I want to take that stony heart out, and I want to put a heart in you that can feel." When you got born again, that's what he done. Everything that had turned our heart into a rock, those hurts, those disappointments, those work of the enemy, he took that out, and he put us a brand new heart in there when we got born again. But then the devil comes in our lives.
Right.
Come on, he keeps coming, beating and trying to find the avenue, a way to work in our life. And if we're not careful, we can get some stony areas. We can get some hard places in our heart. And so we need to be in the place when Jesus says, "Hey, take that stone away." You know, he's got something better. We give him the hurt, the heartache, the anger, the disappointment, the confusion, whatever it might be, and he's got a resurrection. He's got what we're looking for. Verse number 40. Jesus said unto her, and this is why we came here and why we read all of these other verses, so you concentrate on this verse number 40. Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe," come on, you said you were a believer, "if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see" what? "The glory of God." So you have made a confession of faith tonight that you are a believer. And since you're a believer, then out of the mouth of Jesus, he said, if you would believe, you're going to see the glory. See, the grace of God enables us to believe. So the grace of God comes first and then the glory. Come on, the glory. And you say, well, why is it so important that we see the glory of God? The glory of God is what changes you and I. The glory of God is a revelation of the power of Jesus, the love of Jesus, all of these things. But let's jump back over and let's read verse 4, and then I'm going to take you to 2 Corinthians. I'm going to look at John 11 and 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." So that's what you and I have got to say. We've got to say whatever's happening in our life, there is going to be a stone put on that. There's some things in my life that's dead. There's some things in my life that stinks. But when Jesus says, "Take the stone away," when the resurrection comes, when he touches me, come on, it's going to be for God's glory. That means everything you've dealt with, everything you went through, the devil's not going to be glorified out of it. No. No, he's going to be defeated. And you're going to be edified, and everybody's going to see, my goodness, that testimony of God is true. The glory of God is real. Jesus can resurrect some things. He can put some things back together, can he? Come on. He can put things back together that had no hope. They looked dead, but they weren't dead. That's right. That's the kind of God we serve. So go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's look at the last two verses. I believe it's 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we know we quote verse 17 all the time. "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Say, I have liberty. Because you have the Spirit or you couldn't be saved. You have the Spirit or you couldn't believe. Amen? So you've got liberty tonight. This word liberty is freedom. Come on, there's more. There's more. God's got more in store for us, and it's available to us. And how does it come? Verse 18. "But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord." Now, I want you to think about that just for a moment. You and I, we're looking, even as 1 Corinthians 13 talks about, Paul said, we look through a glass darkly. But as we look through that glass, as much as we can see of God tonight in this flesh body, even though our spirit's born again, we've got... there's only so much that we can stand, so much that we can take. But notice what he said. He said, "But as we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord," what happens to us when we see the glory of the Lord? We are changed. That's why the devil doesn't want you and I to see the glory. He doesn't care for people going to church, getting up and singing a song, and then having a testimony service and reading one scripture or two and then shaking each other's hand and going home. The devil, he loves that. He'll sit in the church house with you. He'll hold your hand. He'll pet you on the head. He'll wipe the sweat off your brow. He'll do all those things because he doesn't care. But when you and I get into a place where we start believing for more, when we believe more is in store, come on, God is ready to do something. And when God gets ready, the devil gets nervous. I'm here to tell you, the devil's nervous tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. He's nervous because you're a hungry group of people. You're willing to say yes to the Lord. And so you're going to see the glory of the Lord. And when you see the glory of the Lord, you're going to be changed. That's how you got born again. See, this word changed is a Greek word that's where we get our English word metamorphosis. Isn't that amazing? Just as a tadpole into a frog and all of these things, a worm into a butterfly, all these things, you're changing. Come on, you're changing. And so tonight, when you look into the face of God by the grace of God, and that glory gets revealed. See, God's grace enables you to see some things we'd never be able to see. Then this metamorphosis action by the Spirit starts changing, starts working in us, and all of a sudden, we start seeing things that we never thought we could see. We start believing God for things we never thought we could believe for. It's available to us tonight, amen? All right, so let's go to the Old Testament now, and let's look at the type and the shadow. Let's go to the book of Exodus, and let's look at Moses, since that's what Paul's talking about in this 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He's talking about Moses and the glory. So let's go to the Old Testament and look at it. Let's go to Exodus 33, verse 16. Now, here is where Moses is. He's been alone with the Lord. He's been standing in the gap to bring grace to God's people, where God was, he's ready to just throw his hands up because they just kept being hard-hearted, stiff-necked, and all of these things. And so Moses puts himself in the place of intercessor. He puts himself in a place as a type of Christ. You know, he said, hey, you can't kill them. Because what's that going to do to your name? He said, if you kill them, you got to kill me. He said, take me instead. So he puts himself in that place, in that position for them. And when he does that, all of a sudden, because he's willing to be that sacrifice, he's willing to represent that avenue for the people, then grace comes into his life, and it comes into the people's life. And then because the grace comes, here comes the glory. All right. He said, what did I say? Verse 16. He said, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? It is not in that thou goest with us, so shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. You know, you realize how much power a believer has with God? God's waiting on you to confess His Word. He's waiting on me to confess His Word. He's waiting on us to come in agreement with Him. Because Moses is operating in that position of grace, even as the law giver, in the future. He's showing us a side that can be ministered from our lives. Now, notice what he said. Have found grace in thy sight. It is not in that thou goest with us, so shall we separate thy people from all the face of the people on the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. I know thee by name. Now think about that just a minute. You know, Jesus said, my sheep, I know them, and I call them by name. So the grace of God enables you and I, when we find it, to be able to hear the Lord's voice and to be able to understand it and to be able to walk by the name that the Lord calls us by. Right, Sister Sharon? The name the Lord calls us by. And so that's what we want. That's what we desire. We want to be called by His name. Verse 18. And he said, I beseech thee, show me what? Woo! Show me that glory. Now notice, hold that in your heart. Verse 19, and God said, and he said, I will make some of my... Wow. Can you imagine? You and I, we're willing just to eat the crumbs. Jesus has got a feast for us. The table is spread, right? He said, and I will make all my goodness pass before thee. Now, let's understand. What is God's goodness? God's goodness unto man is, Romans chapter 2, the goodness of God leads all men, all women, all boys, all girls to repentance. So the goodness of God is grace. So what's he saying? He said, I'm going to show you my goodness. I'm going to show you my grace, and then you're going to see my glory. So we've got to see that, that when we receive the grace from God, we receive the ability, the opportunity to receive his glory. I want to see it, don't you? I'm expecting, I'm believing. The glory of God changes me, as we looked at just a moment ago. It changes me from having to live in limitation and lack, keeping me from having to be held back in a place that's not satisfying, in a place that's not fulfilling, in a way that's hard. You're not in the Lord. You and I, we may go through hard times, but he's the one that takes us through them. I don't want to go through hard times without Jesus. But if you go through hard times with Jesus, he gets them through us. He's our strength, our rest. All right. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Come on, that's your God. Our God is a God of mercy. Remember, we talked about last week that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, that your Father, my Father, is the Father of mercies. Amen. And so that's what he's wanting to do. It's the mercy of God, the pity, the compassion, the active work in our life that keeps us from being ate up by the enemy, that wants to bring a resurrection. And so I've got to see that God is wanting to take a stone away. He's wanting to show me some things I never saw before. He's wanting to bring to life in me and you all these promises in this relationship with God. Amen. All right. Now, I want you to think about this just for a second there, what he said in verse number 18. Let's reread it together. Moses said to God, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Now, what a statement this is that Moses is making. He's wanting God to show him his glory. And so let's remind ourselves of just three quick things. I'm not going to hold you long, but let's remind ourselves. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3. And I want you to see the hunger of Moses. And you and I, we need to get that same hunger in our own life. If we get in trouble when we get satisfied. Well, I'm saved. You know, I pray over my food. God talks to me every once in a while. I talk to him every. No, he wants to talk to you and I moment by moment. He'd rather fellowship with you than anybody else on the planet. That's the way he looks at it. He has a hunger, a desire for that. But here, so Moses is saying, God, I want to see your glory. Now, let's think about that. Go in Exodus chapter 3. Look at the starting in verse number 1. Now, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock in the backside of the desert, and he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb, or Horeb, however you wish to say it. Verse 2, now notice what happens. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with a fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now I want you to think about that. Glory. And the angel of the Lord. Now, you can believe what you want to, but don't get mad at me for what I believe. But I believe this was the pre-incarnate Christ. I believe that Jesus, as he appeared in different times in the Old Testament, just as he talked with Abraham, and they communed about what was going to happen with Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah and all those things. I believe that was Jesus. I really do. And so here, this angel of the Lord, the fire of God, the glory of God comes on this bush, but it doesn't hurt the bush. Now, here, so imagine this. You're going about your everyday life, and all of a sudden, we preached on this before, so I won't beat it long, but you're doing what you have to do in life, and there is that bush, and there's the fire of the Lord. There's the glory of the Lord on that, and he turns to that to go and see what's happening. Now, so he saw something that is supernatural. He saw something that was amazing. And then if you look at these first 10 verses, this is where he gets his call on his life. All of a sudden, he really realizes what he's been waiting for. He's been waiting 80 years to find out what God destined him to do. Remember, the first 40 years were in Egypt. And in those first 40 years, he knew what he was supposed to do, but he got out of step with the Lord, and he ended up getting in trouble. So he had to go here and learn how to be a shepherd for 40 years. So he learned how to how he could lead in this wilderness experience. And in this moment, these 40 years of teaching, all of a sudden, he sees God's glory. Can you imagine that? We think, oh, it's just a little flower in a bush. No, this was, that they, Moses saw that all the time in the desert. That the bushes would just, it's so hot and dry, they would just catch on fire and just burn up immediately. He saw all that, but now he's seeing something he never saw before. Come on, God's grace allows you and I to see something we never saw before. There is more in store, amen? And so this doesn't satisfy him, though. Think about it. He saw that, but now here he is walking with God, and he says, God, I want to see more. Do you want to see more tonight? Are you satisfied with just being saved, or do you want to be sanctified? Are you satisfied with just being saved and a little bit sanctified, or do you want to be in a place where you're set loose to do everything God called you to do? Come on, God is calling us out. He's wanting to set us loose to empower us by the Spirit to be able to make this gospel true to people who don't have a clue what's being said. Amen? All right, let's turn over just a little bit, and let's look at another example. We're in Exodus 3. Let's go over to Exodus 14 or 15. Let's go to Exodus 14. Exodus 14. And let's look at another example of, see what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get you and I not to be satisfied just because we've had a few doodads run up and down our shoulders. Praise God for those doodads. But those go away. But you and I, we've got fellowship. We've got relationship. You and I, we don't have to feel something to know that God loves us. We don't have to feel something to walk in victory and freedom. We don't, you and I, we can be in that place where he looks at us as a mature son and daughter of God. Amen? We're not babes. We're growing up. We're eating the meat. Amen? And we're getting stronger and stronger. All right, look at Exodus 14:19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Verse 20. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and a darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that no one came near the other all the night. Come on, you and I, we talked about it this morning. We ministered out of the Word of God, and you can read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're children of the day. It doesn't matter how dark the night gets. No matter how dark this world gets, we're children of the day. Amen? And so can you imagine, Moses is seeing this, but yet he's still asking, God, I want to see your glory. I want to see your glory. Can you imagine? Now, they're in a desert place, and in the desert, can you imagine when the moon's not shining, how dark and drab and cold? Because there's nothing to hold the heat in. All as hot as it is in the daytime, it's freezing at night. But yet Moses is seeing, we've got a light. And that light is separating me from the enemy. Come on, in the name of Jesus, you need to speak some dark works to those dark works that's trying to come against you, trying to come against your family. And you say, no, I've been delivered from you. I'm putting Jesus between me and you. Jesus is my guard. He goes in before me. He goes behind me. He's all around me in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. What did he have in his hand? Come on, the type of the cross. What's the sea? Revelation 17:15 says the sea is the people. The people need the cross. But the people ain't going to hold God's people back. Because the cross is what? It's the dividing point. Come on, the cross is what separates. Everything that would try to hold you and I back, the cross will separate it. Come on, get with me now. We're going just a little bit deeper, but we need to get into some things. God is going to do some things if we can believe Him for it. Amen? And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all the night. All the night. I don't care how dark it gets, the Holy Ghost is here in this world. Amen? And made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Come on, God can make a path for you and I in the midst of any trouble, any struggle. He can show us His glory. Verse 22, and the children of Israel went in the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and on the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Aren't you glad? Come on. God can, everything that looks like it's going to swallow you up, Jesus can between me and you and it, and He can hold it up. He can divide it. Amen? So the thing that you're going through, the thing that looks like it's going to stop you, the thing that looks like it's going to limit you, the thing that looks like it's going to hurt you forever, no, you're going to be able to look at it and say, you can't get to me. Jesus is the divider. Come on, the rod, the staff, the cross is between me and everything the devil's trying to do. There is more glory. There is more in store. Because I've got grace, I'm going to have the glory of God. Amen? Drop down to verse 26. I'm going to try to hit this really hard and fast. Verse 26, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand over the sea. See, you and I, we've got to realize we spend most of our time praying offensively. We need to start doing some things the way the Bible lines out for us. Thank God for the way we start our prayer and the way we start our walk with the Lord. But then we need to mature and we need to grow into some of the deeper things. And we need to see that there's some things that we got to do against the devil. There's some things we got to do against the enemy. The enemy will walk all over you and I if we don't have knowledge. The Bible says in Hosea 4:6, for my people, they are destroyed for lack of knowledge, right? And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand over the sea, that the waters may come upon the Egyptians and upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. So this is what you and I got to do. You're going through some situations, some circumstances. The devil is doing this and doing that. We need to be like Moses. We need to look and hear what God is saying, but we need to know that God's got more in store. Amen? We need to be in that place where we say, God, how do I handle this? And so you've got the cross. Come on, Jesus said for you to pick up your cross. All right, your cross come from His cross. Yes. So it's got the same power because it's really His cross. And so you and I, we put it over those things that's trying to just keep coming after us. And we see, wait a minute, God protected me and got me through it. Now I need to shut it off from me. There's no use in battling this again. There's no use in going through it again. Come on, I'm torn. I don't know about you, but I've been beating my head against the wall long enough. I've been going through things over and over and over, and God wants to what? He's a deliverer. He's not just a sustainer. He don't just hold our hand and pet us and say, okay, it's going to be okay. No, He gets us out of it. Amen? Verse 27, and Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Could the Lord have done it if Moses hadn't have done his part? Because God can't go beyond His word. If God tells us to do something, we have to do our part, and then God will always do His part. Amen? So you're just one word of obedience, one act on the word from the miracle. One step from the revelation of a new level of glory in God. Verse 28. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. And there remained not so much as how many? Not one of them. Jesus can swallow it all up. Now, don't take what I'm saying wrong. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. You're going to go through things. But you and I, it's time to move on to the next thing. Instead of just keep battling over and over, because that's why we get wore out. If you keep going through the same thing over and over. Look what it says. Drop down to verse 30. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. Now you said you were believers, right? Then you are saved. Egyptians means bondage. Whom the Son makes free is. See, we let the devil convince us. Oh, you're still bound in that area. See, and then we go back to God. God, please. You're not a beggar. I'm not a beggar. We've got to operate in the truth. Amen. We've got to live from the point of victory. The Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the sea shore. Come on. It's time that we see the work of the enemy. Satan, Hebrews 2:14, is dead. See him dead. Dead means defeated. When he brings that up again in your life and he tries to get a hold of you, when he brings it up in my life and gets a hold of me, I see you as a dead man. Hallelujah. Come on, we've got to see it. Verse 31. And Israel, what? Saw that great work of the Lord that he did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared. They reverenced the Lord and believed. But now what did Jesus say? Jesus said, all things is possible to them that believe, right? But he told there in John 11, he said, didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see? See, they had to see to believe. Now, God will bless us on the credit, and he'll help us when we're baby and some things. But then he wants us to what? Now, listen, you and I can have what we can believe for. That makes the devil mad. That makes the religious mad. And that gets all kinds of things stirred up. But it's the truth. Come on, I'm tired of being robbed. I want God's best, don't you? All right. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord, reverenced the Lord, and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. So you and I, we need to be in the place and position. We take this Bible as what it is. It is the Word of God. And the Word of God will serve us. It will. And when you and I decide to serve the Word of God, that's when things start happening. Okay, one more. Just real quickly. Go over to the 17th chapter. Now, the reason why we're reading this, remember, because I want you to get it in your heart how God must have been so amazed and so pleased with Moses, because Moses said, I want to see more. I want to, because we're looking at what Moses had already saw. He'd saw these glorious things, and we could spend all week trying to cover what all Moses seen, but we're just hitting three high points here. And the Exodus 17, verse number one, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and they pitched in Rephidim, means the resting place of the beds, and there was no water for the people to drink. Now see, they're on a journey, and they're going through this wilderness to where God has had some promises for them. You and I, we can't lay down in the world's bed. Revelation 17:18 talks about the harlot, and the whole world is going to be cast in bed with her. We're going through this world. This world's not our home. I'm not laying down in the devil's bed. You're not laying down in the devil's bed. Amen. We're going to move on. But when you lay down in the devil's bed, what did it say? There was no water for the people to drink. See, the devil will give us a shortcut to please the flesh, but then the spirit's the one that has to pay the price. And I know, because I've done it many times. Verse 2. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide you with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? Now, we won't take time to read it, but you make a mental note of it and go back and look at Exodus 15, 24, 25, and 26. They had the same conversation. They said, you brought us out here to die. Where's our water? And what did God do? God caused them to come and to camp at the place of the 70 palm trees. He gave them everything they needed. And he introduced himself as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals thee. If you look at those last few verses in Exodus 15. And so what am I saying is, you and I, if we're not careful, we forget. God does something in our life. Here comes the devil. Here comes the pain. Here comes the trouble, whatever it might be. Oh, God, why have you left me? Why have you forsaken me? Do you not know where I'm at? No, God knows. And he's going to take care of us. Okay. Verse 3, and the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children with and our cattle with thirst? Who's talking? Yes. I don't want to be the devil's mouthpiece. So many times Donna's going to tell me, she said, you better keep your mouth shut. Better keep your mouth shut. Sometimes I listen, sometimes I mess up. We got to know, because if we're not talking God talk, there's only one other source. Amen. Verse 4. And Moses cried unto the Lord. This is what you and I got to do. Some of you are in some situations tonight just like me. Only God can answer your question. Thank God for brothers and sisters that love us and help us, but only God can answer your question. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. Verse 5. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy what? Woo! Pick up your cross how often? Daily. Yes, Sister Michelle. Thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river. Don't you love it? When we're carrying the cross, we can remember what God's done in the past. And if I can remember the goodness of God in the past, God doesn't change. So if he was good in the past, the Lord is good, then he's good now. Amen? Even in the middle of the trial. And thy rod where thou smotest the river, and take it in thy hand and go. Now notice this. Right now don't get mad at me, but the reason why some of you are in a dry place, you need to go somewhere.
Yeah.
It's time to go to the next level. And in my life, the times that I get so dissatisfied and I struggle so much is when my spirit is so willing, like Jesus said, but my flesh is weak. Remember, he's talking to Peter there and the three that he's praying in the garden, of the oil press. Anyway. Take it in thy hand and go. Verse 6. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock. See, when you and I are carrying our cross, which is really the cross of Christ, when we're carrying it, God said, I'm right there with you. Why? Because you can't divide God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Where one is, there they are. Yes, God's on his throne, and yes, Jesus is on his right hand, but we're seated there too. Amen? And you have the Spirit, I have the Spirit. We're all together. We can't divide it. Behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Now, let's understand this rock. Sister Victoria, put Deuteronomy 32:14. I think it's 32:14. Is that right? No, it's not right. Maybe it's 4. It's somewhere in Deuteronomy. It talks about Jesus being, it's the capital R. Yes, okay, thank you. Jesus, he is what? The rock. So God says, he said, take your rod, your top of the cross. And he said, I'm going to go with you. And he said, I want you to stand on the rock. We're building our life on the rock. His work is perfect, for all of his ways are a judgment. A God of truth without iniquity, just and right is he. So you and I, we stand upon the rock let's go back. Where was we at there? What happened when he obeyed the Lord. Back to Exodus 17. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come what? Water out of it, that the people may drink. You and I, we've got to see that in the driest of situations, when things look impossible, when there looks like there's absolutely no hope, that's when God shows up and shows out. But he can't, if God's not doing something in your life, if God's not doing something in my life, I don't need to blame God. I need to ask him, where am I at in this? See, God and you and I and God, we're partners. Can you believe that God would let, see, that's what a covenant means. A covenant means that there's a passing of flesh, that the blood is shed and you come into a covenant. But, okay. Another, yeah, all right. So a passing the in this covenant is a passing of the flesh, and so you and I were in this covenant with the Lord, and when we're in this covenant with the Lord, we can see things done that would be otherwise impossible. But God says that if you're in my covenant with me, you're my partner. That blows my mind that God would let me be his partner. Oh, hallelujah. All right, let's go back and let's close where we were at there in Exodus 33. Now notice what he said. He said in verse 18, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. So what I'm trying to do is I want you to be hungry enough for the Lord. Don't be satisfied with what you've done, Saul. Come on, Moses wasn't satisfied. And if he wasn't satisfied under the old covenant, how much more should you and I not be satisfied under the new covenant? Because we're living in the dispensation of grace where Jesus said that we can have what we say. Wow. Okay. For sake of time, drop down to verse 22. We're going to read two verses and I'll let you go. Exodus 33, verse 22. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, because Moses is on that same rock that put out the water, not literally, but I mean spiritually. It shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock. Now think about it. When you accept God's grace, that's what happens. You're put in the rock. You're put in Jesus. You're in that special place that belongs to you and the Lord. It's that secret place of the Most High that is a place that he wants to fellowship with you and you fellowship with him, and where his glory is revealed to you. See, every one of us, we got our own cleft. We've got our own place. That place that the greatest things of God can come in our life. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. In the under the old covenant, still yet under that dispensation of that time period. But you and I have got to see that there's more to this than us. Don't get in the place of limitation. Let's stay in the place of expectation, because people saw God's face. The Bible tells us that Abraham talked to him as a friend, face to face. So, what this is talking about, God is doing something here, that given a type of the shadow of what we're going to have in the New Testament that could not be enjoyed under the old. You and I, we can come boldly under the throne of grace. The Bible says come to the throne of grace is the mercy seat. The mercy seat is where the blood of Jesus is, and it's the place where at the throne of God where you and I can look and see Jesus. So he wouldn't tell us to come boldly to that if we could not see him. Amen. So rightly divide the time frame and the dispensation and accept that. So tonight I want you to be in the place and the position where you say, Lord, I am so excited to be saved. I'm so excited to be born again, but I know you've got more in store. I know that there's something that you want to reveal to me. See, when you and I receive grace, then God's glory story starts coming out of your life. That's what I want, don't you? You and I, we're not going to save this generation by just simply preaching a gospel that was that's preached out of a denomination. We've got to bring them the gospel in Christ's glory. Jesus has got to be, the good news has got to be presented without tradition, without sunglasses of man's understanding, without all of the covering of what man has tried to build in the name of church. We've got to just let the glory of the Lord burn sin out of their life, burn deception out of their life. And the only way that can happen is we've got to experience. You carry the glory of the Lord. The Apostle Paul, he saw the glory of the Lord on the road to Damascus, and it was so great that it blinded his natural eyes. But it opened up his spiritual eyes, and from then on, he carried the glory of the Lord. And now, because you and I have heard this gospel message, we have received this mystery. We're carrying the same glory. You got to believe that when you walk into a dark room, a dark heart, that the glory of the Lord is there to shine and to reveal something to people. Amen? That's the truth. So, would you come in agreement with the Spirit of God tonight and say, Lord, I want to tell your glory story. I want to be in that place and position where I'm like Moses. I'm not satisfied. See, the flesh is always greedy. It's hungry, it wants this, it wants that, more and more and more. We need to be greedy in the Spirit because that's not a sin. What does the Bible say? The Bible, Paul says, I'm going to show you a more excellent way, right, in 1 Corinthians 13. But then in chapter 14, he says, covet the best gifts. Amen? Come on, we can be greedy. Well, the best gifts are what God wants to bring in a situation. In other words, it's His glory that will deliver somebody from a hindering spirit. It's His glory that will deliver somebody from some kind of addiction. Or it's His glory that will raise somebody up out of a deathbed. Amen? That's His glory. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we love you. We honor you. We're so grateful and so thankful that you would allow us to be your partner. And we're so thankful that you have put us together, this particular part of the body, to be partners together, one another with you, in you. Lord, I ask you tonight that you just stir us up. Help us to be hungry for the deeper things of the Lord. Lord, we believe you. We've even made that confession of faith. And so you said because we believe, we're going to see the glory of the Lord. We're going to be changed. Our attitudes tonight is going to be changed. If our attitudes is going to be changed, then our actions will be changed. Lord, let it be. Let us go to that next level in you. Let there be the impossible things just become the norm. Because of your hand, your word, your grace, your glory working in and through our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Would you come tonight and say, I'm going to make me an altar. I'm going to talk to the Lord. I'm going to let Him show me some secret things. The secret thing belongeth to the Lord, but I'm going to search some things out. I'm going to see what He has to reveal to me tonight about His glory. I want to see what He has that He wants me to carry. I want to see what He wants me to see that I've already been delivered from. I've already walked through, and now I need to take the cross, and I need to close those things off my life or my family's life or my friend's life, and I need to step into those new things. It's available to us tonight. All we have to do is just access it by faith, and you done said that you were believers, so it's yours tonight. Amen.